Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. We'll read verses 16 through 20 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And let's finish on verse 20 together. Ready? And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's pure, perfect, fallible. Lord, it's given word by word to you, to us, and exactly as it was written in heaven before the world was created. Lord, thank you for the gift of the man of God. Lord, thank you that it could be said in our city, there's a man of God in that city. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we focus our mind, our attention, and all of our spirit on the working of the Holy Spirit as he preaches tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
It just gets gooder and gooder. Oh, God's good. If you still have your Bible open there to Luke chapter 4, I will refer to it. It won't take me long if you will pay close attention to the sermon tonight. The sermon is called The Lost Trait of Concentration. There are many good people who do not succeed to the degree that they ought to succeed. And I think tonight's sermon will tell you why. In the story that we read earlier from Luke chapter 4, Jesus came to Nazareth. He went to church, and the Bible says, as was his custom. In other words, he was a man of character. And he did what his schedule mandated or dictated. Now, there's a reason why a lot of people are not successful. Everybody has the same number of hours in a day, but not everybody uses their hours well. Right. Jesus was a man of character. He was predictable. He was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to do when he was supposed to do it. That will always help you to accomplish what you're to accomplish in life. When he arrived at the synagogue, they handed him the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says, as we read, he began to read it, and he read it out loud to the people. He read, actually, verses that would have been found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." They had handed him the scripture. He opened it. He read it to the congregation. The Bible says, basically, he closed the Bible, handed it back to the minister. He went over and sat down, and the Bible says this: all eyes were fastened upon him. All eyes were fastened upon him. What did it mean? They were concentrating on Jesus. They were concentrating on Jesus. Their eyes and their minds were locked in on him. Boy, do we need to learn how to lock our minds on that which is right. Some of you could conquer some of the trash that's in your mind if you could lock your mind on what's right. If you would think, as the Bible says, on these things, if you would lock in or concentrate on the right things, the wrong things would not dominate your mind so much. When orange juice is concentrated, it means it's not diluted. It's not diluted. Now, when your mind, or if you mentally concentrate, your attention is not diluted by outside things. There's a pure concentration. I called a sermon. It's very simple. Anybody could preach it. But I called a sermon, The Lost Trait of Concentration. The Lost Trait of Concentration. What is concentration? Well, it is to aim your mind and then to keep it on target. When I deer hunt and I use my rifle, I use a 270. It has a scope on it. And I look through that scope and I lock my mind. When I aim my eye down that scope and I look at the target, I aim and then I lock in on that target. Now, mental concentration is looking through the scope of your mind and locking in on the target. That's what concentration is. Concentration is what we might call exclusive attention to something. Concentration is applying yourself mentally. Concentration is pure mental focus. Pure mental focus. What is concentration? It's causing your senses to combine their effort on a specific cause or purpose. I'm concentrating. What's it mean? My sight, my ears, if there's smell, whatever my senses are, all my senses have pulled together to lock in on a particular cause or purpose. What is concentration? It is directing my mental energy. What is concentration? Well, really, so you understand it, it's mental character. Because we live in a dearth of character today, we also live in a dearth of concentration. These people do not know how to control themselves. They don't know how to plan their life and live by plan. They don't know how to live by schedule. They don't know how to tell themselves what to do and how to do it. There's a lack of character and there's a tremendous lack of concentration today because there is such a lack of character. If you don't have physical character, you're dead sure not going to have mental character. There is a way to live your life where you control your mind and your mind does not control you, but you control it. You must learn to concentrate. So concentration is that exclusive attention. And in this passage of scripture in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had read the scripture and the congregation fastened their minds and eyes upon him. Every one of us, if you truly want to succeed, you had better redevelop the ability to concentrate. There's a lot of things today that are messing with our ability to concentrate. The television messes with it. You say, why? There's so much fluctuation of scenes in the television. Your mind is not used to locking in on one thing for any length of time. Video games will cause it. There's such fluctuation in the games that your mind is not used to locking in on one thing that is not changing constantly. There are some people that can't stand an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist church because we're not constantly changing. We have a place where we're going and we're going to go there and we're not going to change where we're going. And people want so much fluctuation. People are so unpredictable today, so up and down. They move around all over the place. Hey, there's a lack of mental character among people. Now, you stay with me. Let me talk to us for just a little while about this issue of the lost trait of concentration. Let me say, first of all, I don't think we concentrate when we listen. We don't concentrate when we listen. I need you to listen tonight. You ought to listen to what's said. People hear about half of what's said. Do you know that if what's said would make you a success and you only listen to half of what's said, that means you're only half as successful as what you ought to be? Let me tell you something. Most failure in the Christian school is not that the material was not said, it's that the material was not heard. The failure in the church is not that the doctrine was not taught, it is that the doctrine was not heard. The voice is not broken, it's the ears that's lazy. People hear about half of what's said. You repeat yourself. And if you're a leader, you will repeat yourself. And repeat yourself. And repeat yourself. And repeat yourself. And about that time, you picked up about 50% of the crowd. And then you'll be criticized for being redundant and simple. Leaders constantly repeat themselves. They have to. Why? Because people don't concentrate today. Some of you get fidgety in church when the sermon gets much longer than a sitcom. Had you heard the 2-hour sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, many of you would have been so miserable. You've been laying in the pew sleeping about halfway through because it took 2 hours to preach it. Because mentally, we cannot lock in and concentrate today. It's mental character. It is a missing attribute among people. The Holy Spirit has to work overtime. Why? People don't listen. The Bible in the Old Testament talks about the Holy Spirit being a still, small voice. That means the Holy Spirit whispers to you, "You're wrong." Today, He's going, "Whoa, you're wrong! Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo-hoo! You're wrong! Yes, you!" And you're saying, "You hear something?" Still, small voice. But because we do not concentrate today, we don't hear the still small voice. Our minds are racing everywhere but toward the cross. And so, it's the lost art of concentration. We do not practice mental character. We do not apply ourselves mentally. There is an absence of pure mental focus. We somehow do not collect all of our senses and combine our senses' effort specifically for a cause or a purpose, and we get half of what's said. So I think we don't concentrate when we listen. I think we don't concentrate when we pray. Why? Well, we have lazy minds. Our minds are lazy. The primary reason people don't get answered prayer today is, first of all, because they don't pray. But secondarily, it's when they do pray, they don't labor in prayer and they don't concentrate on what they're saying. Think about yourself. How's your focus when you get down on your knees to pray? You have good mental character? You worry about everything under the sun except for your prayer list? Most of our failures in life, folks, are prayer failures. Prayer's not. Hey, prayer doesn't take a whole. You don't have to be able to bench press 300 pounds to pray. You don't have to have $1 million to pray. You don't have to have fancy clothes to pray. You just have to have mental character. Be easier to get $1 million. We don't concentrate when we pray. And most of us are not shocked that we don't get our prayers answered. Doesn't really bother you. You want to know why? Because you don't really think you put enough into it to get an answer anyway. If the average person were honest with themselves. Again, think about it. When was the last time that you were with God and really felt like you were with God? How was your last meeting in the Holy of Holies of your mind as you fell prostrate before the God of the universe and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar and prayed something down from God? You see, I think there's a trait that is missing among Christians today and in our world. It is the lost trait of concentration. I think sometimes we don't realize how much work we could get done if we really knew how to concentrate. If we knew how to zero in on it. If we knew how to aim ourselves and throw ourselves into something, what we could get done. And there's so many people that say, "Well, I just could not do that." Well, if God be with you, who could be against you? You could do it. And I don't think we concentrate when we listen. And I don't think we concentrate when we pray. I don't think we concentrate when we read our Bibles. Do you focus on the Word of God when you're reading the Word of God? How long can you sit still and read your Bible? Do you remember anything that you've read? We need to concentrate on the Word of God. We say that this will change our lives. We say that this is God's Word. We say that God's Word is pure and holy. But there are some people here, you concentrate more on reading the newspaper than you concentrate on reading your Bible. Why? You can go to work and tell people all sorts of things you read in the newspaper, but you couldn't tell anybody what you read in your Bible in the morning. Why? Because you mentally focus on the newspaper instead of mentally focusing on the Bible. We need to learn to concentrate. The Bible says when Jesus stood in that synagogue, all the people in Nazareth, they listened to him. And as he spoke, every eye and every ear was fixed upon him. Can you concentrate? There are some of you, you get up in the morning and you have a routine of exercising. You run every morning. You lift some weights every morning. There's some of you need to exercise your mind and learn how to concentrate. You need to build up some mental character and build up the muscle of your ability to control your mind long enough so you can pray and control your mind long enough so you can read the Bible and actually concentrate on what you're reading. I don't think we concentrate. May I say to us, I don't think we concentrate when we work. We get preoccupied. I could probably run for president. The wealthy people in America would elect me on the basis of if I would say that every person that has a cell phone may not bring them to work anymore so we could get some work done. And the wealthy people would rally behind me and help me put TV ads in the newspaper. This is the guy for president. We could turn the economy around. It might be good if you concentrated while you were at work. If you don't, did you know that your boss was not hiring just your hands? He was hiring your mind. He got cheated in some cases. Did you know while you're at work, you're to concentrate on what you're doing? I think all of us will make mistakes at work. But some of them could have been avoided. You say, how? By concentrating on your work. Think of the low productivity because people's minds are preoccupied and they're thinking about something other than their work. Think of all the scrap parts, scrap machinery and mistakes that are made and what it costs the boss because someone won't concentrate on what they're doing. Folks, we are to be honest people and we should be concentrating on the work that has been given to us. We ought to lock in. We ought to visually focus on what we're doing. And our boss ought to get the most out of our minds and out of our bodies while we're doing work for them. You see, there's a lost trait of concentration. People today can't direct their mental energy and they have a lack of mental character. And because of it, we don't concentrate when we listen. And because of it, we don't concentrate when we pray. And because of it, we don't concentrate when we read our Bibles. And because of it, we don't concentrate while we're at work. I think we don't concentrate when we speak. When we speak. You know, Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Did you know something? The meditation of your heart ought to help to dictate the words of your mouth. Your mouth should not say something and then your mind go, whoops, shouldn't have said that. Your mind should have told you what to say in the first place. Could I recommend that all of us learn to think before we speak? It might be a good idea to concentrate on the conversation at hand. Oh, and my, have we gotten rude with the cell phones. You can be right in the middle of a very important conversation. People are popping that phone up. Get just a minute. Don't be rude to people constantly interrupting a conversation that you're in at that moment to answer your telephone. Oh, but we need to learn to concentrate on what we're saying. We let our emotions lead our lips instead of the Bible lead our lips. And you're going to have to concentrate if that's going to be the case. Let me tell you something. I'm not good at it, but I'm working at it, and I hope I grow at it. When I am in conversations with people, I'm trying to think ahead to see what I'm saying and the fallout, whether I'm going to hurt them. The emotional domino effect that could take place. I'm trying to figure out where could this conversation go. I'm just not rattling at the lips. What is the price that must be paid because of what I say? Who will I hurt? Will I destroy my testimony? What am I saying that could hurt somebody? But you know, you have to concentrate if you're going to be like that. You're going to have to concentrate on what you say. Do you think about what you're going to say?
Good.
Can I tell you all something? I counsel a lot of people. There are weeks that I'll counsel 100 to 140 people. I get criticized for not having enough time for the people. When was the last time you counseled 140 people in a week? I do it 52 weeks a year. I'm awful busy with the people. But I'll tell you what I do. Every appointment that I have, every appointment, I prepare for it. I concentrate on what you need to hear from me in that appointment. Many of you will come into my office and you'll see there's a little piece of paper there. I've got notes written on it. Why? I've already thought about you. I've thought about the problem we're going to deal with. And I must now help you with what I have prepared. I just don't rattle at the mouth. Because I've learned that if I just rattle at the mouth and I'm always shooting from the hip, I'll say something stupid. Now, I say enough stupid things when I plan the conversation. But if all I ever do is talk and I shoot from the hip, I'm going to hurt somebody. I've learned that I must concentrate on my conversations if I want them to go well. And the ones that go the worst are the ones that I've not concentrated on to prepare. You all know what I mean. I look back and say, why? You know, I did not plan to say that. How did that come out? Those are the ones that get me in the most trouble. You know, in my speaking, did you know I concentrate on what I say up here? I plan virtually every word. I preach every sermon twice before I bring it to the pulpit. I mean, I virtually preach through it twice. I do not want to make a bunch of mistakes. Now, I make mistakes all the time when I preach, but I'll tell you something. I've minimized them some because I concentrate in advance on what I'm going to say. Gives you a little more protection in regard to false doctrine and saying things that should not be said. I've taken statements and worked for an hour on one sentence. How do I word that? That's not right. It's got to be said this way. But wait a minute, that could offend. I got to rework it a little bit here. We need to learn to concentrate on what comes out of our mouth. But this is lost. People don't concentrate anymore. They just go with the flow. They just let it rip. Let it happen. Say what you will. Think what you will. Do what you will. I think we need to start concentrating on what life is really all about. We need to concentrate when we listen and concentrate when we pray and concentrate when we read our Bibles and concentrate when we're at work and concentrate when we speak. It wouldn't hurt us if we'd concentrate on our ministries for the Lord. But like so many other matters, we don't. We don't. We're unfocused. Hey, Sunday school teacher, do you concentrate on that class? Right now, I'm not teaching or building a Sunday school class, but I want to tell you something. Before I came here, I taught a young couples class. I'll guarantee you, I concentrated on it. I concentrated on what we did. I concentrated on how it was organized. I concentrated how I visited my absentees. I concentrated. I thought about it. I threw myself into it. It was a big deal to me. Do you concentrate on your ministry? You know, if you'll focus, you'll succeed. One of the biggest problems among good people is that they do good things, but they don't focus on the good that they do. Too many people live, and this is so true, too many people live for their time off instead of living right during their time on. You know, really, if you want your life to be a life of fulfillment, it's not just all about after you get off work in the weekends. I am not about to waste 5 or 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, just looking forward to the night and the weekend. I plan to get something done with all of it. Concentrate. Let me say, I find that we don't concentrate on the preaching much. We play. We sleep. We daydream. And here's what's really happened. And this doesn't happen in our church as much as it does in some, but it is really an epidemic across the nation. Churches have become casual. They're casual in their dress. It's no longer Sunday go to meeting clothing. They're casual. Their music is casual. The preaching's casual. No pointedness, just casual. So the listening is casual. We'll all just casually float through life. Are you a casual listener? Heard that before. Hear it again. Just another day in the neighborhood. be good for some of you to get under conviction every once in a while and not be so casual. Oh, but we fail because we don't concentrate on the preaching. Then may I say, I don't think we concentrate on people. You know, it would be good for all of us to concentrate on relationships. Just so you all know, relationships are more important than things. Relationships. See, sometimes we're physically with people, but we're mentally somewhere else, and you're destroying your relationship that way. When someone says, I want you to be with me, it was not that they just want your body there. They want your mind there. And if they had a choice, they'd rather have your mind there than your body. Hey, you know, if we ask your husband tonight, does your wife concentrate when she's with you? What would he say? Do you feel like your wife concentrates on your presence? Do you feel like your husband concentrates on you? I'll help you. Concentrate on your children. When you're with them, be with them. Concentrate with your son. Concentrate with your daughter. Hey, wouldn't it hurt that in your family you make eye contact and it not be totally unreasonable to your mental condition? There's some people you make eye contact with and about freak out. Why shouldn't a husband and wife be able to look deeply into one another's eyes? Why couldn't you look into your child's eyes and look deeply into your child's eyes? Should we not concentrate on one another? Should not husbands concentrate on wives and wives on husbands? And should not mothers and fathers concentrate on their children? Children, should not you concentrate on mom and dad and what they do for you and what they're saying to you? Should not brothers and sisters concentrate about one another's well-being? We don't concentrate on people. And I'm almost finished, but let me make one other application, though I would like to just take the next hour and talk to you about this issue. Let me say, we don't concentrate on walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. If you're a new Christian, the day you got saved, you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. He sent the person of the Holy Spirit of God to live within you. You're to walk every day in submission to His desires. You ought to often be saying, Holy Spirit of God, give me guidance. Holy Spirit of God, help me to do right. Holy Spirit of God, tell me where to go. Holy Spirit of God, control me. We're to do that all day long, every day. It's called walking in the Spirit. But there's one problem. We have a generation that walks in the flesh because it takes mental character to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit requires a conscious effort. You all know what I mean. Those of you that truly understand walking in the Spirit, every time you make the commitment, you say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to remember God all day long. And about 3 hours into it, you've just totally forgotten. Maybe days before you come back to it. Maybe weeks, maybe months. Staying spiritually alert takes mental character. And that's one reason why today we live in a society that think you're supposed to leave Jesus down at the church house and you walk away and go live any way you want all week long. You say, why? We live in a character anemic day and age, and it is so hard to walk with Jesus 7 days a week. It'd be much easier just to do it for an hour or two down at the church. You're to walk in the Spirit, but you'll never walk in the Spirit unless you get mental character. You have to be alert to the fact that you'll either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. You have to remind yourself of it frequently. You have to focus on the need to walk in the Spirit. Jesus had gone into the synagogue. They handed him a Bible. He read to them from Isaiah 62, verse 1 and 2. He closed the Bible, handed it to the preacher, and sat down. And the Bible says every eye and every mind was fastened on him. They were concentrating on Jesus. There was a mental character being exercised. And I say to you, we would all succeed far more in our families, in our marriages, at work, at church, with God, if we would just merely focus. Concentrate. Take all your senses, aim, and don't let anything dilute your attention. There are young people in here, if you would get what I'm telling you tonight, you would start passing your classes at school. I would say there are some, if we would take video games away from them, they could start passing school. Not because of the waste of time. Not because of all the violence, the rock, and the nudity in it. Just because of the fact that it is hurting people's ability to concentrate. They're so fidgety. Their mind's got to change and change and change and change. They can't lock in. You say, I have the disease called attention deficit. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you ought to do everything you can to pay attention. And if you would concentrate, you could better yourself no matter what disease you think you have. Fasten your mind on good things. It'll change your life. I said it earlier and I'm done. There's some of you, you have some garbage in your brain. You better learn to concentrate on right things so wrong things don't eat up your thinking processes. And you can do it because God told you to be an overcomer. He'll enable you to do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, I welcome you to the altar. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here tonight and you need to be make public your salvation, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. If you're here tonight and you need the altar for a moment, I promise you all of us need to work on this thing of concentration a bit. All of us do. All of us do. But if you need the altar, you come. The altar call won't last a long time. You know what I wish? I wish some of you would order this CD and listen to it more than one time, because some of you, you're a good person, but you can't concentrate. You can't lock in on right and stay with it. You need to do that. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play.